I want to read a couple verses to you this morning out of the NLT. Hebrews 12, 26 through 28 says, when God spoke to Mount Sinai, from Mount Sinai, his voice shook the earth. But now he makes another promise. Once again, I will shake not only the earth, but the heavens also. This means that all creation will be shaken and removed, so that only unshakable things will remain, since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable. Let us be thankful and please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe. Amen? Amen. Father, we love you. We thank you that you're doing a great shaking, even if we don't understand it, and even if it feels like great persecution at times, and it's hard and it's hurtful, and God, we look around and we might feel like things are falling apart. I'm reminded that nothing shocks you. Nothing is out of order in your word, God. Nothing. This is predestined before time, but God, we don't know exactly what you're doing, but we ask that right now, Lord, may you give us a piece of your battle plan. May we be a part of whatever it is that you're doing. And God, may you teach us and give us strategies to reach the lost and the broken. And God, may we see hell plundered and kingdom of God just advance, Lord, and be populated. We love you, God. And we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. So the shaking is separating the world from Christianity. It's so easy to see. If you haven't seen that, I challenge you to turn on the news and read your word. They don't say the same things. But this shaking is also separating the believers in the church as well. Jesus prophesied this in Matthew 24 and 25, that this would happen. Five brides will not be ready, and they will not truly know him. I just want to say this for a second. By the way, if you have an opinion, no matter what it is, and if it's not rooted in God's word, it's not God's opinion. It's your own opinion, right? Only things out of God's word. And whatever you found, God, whatever you find in God's word, and then you formulate an opinion based on a principle, a doctrine, and not just a Bible verse, right? You can't just say a Bible. You know, I used to joke around Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ Jesus, and I can eat the rest of that food. Hallelujah. I've had three plates, but I can eat that fourth one. Philippians 4:13. Man, that's crazy. That's whacked out. But so often we do that with God's word. But you got to root into the principles and the doctrine of God's word, and then you formulate your opinions, and then that's the only time that your opinion will be godly. Other than that, it's your personal opinion. And everybody's got one. And what does that even mean, right? Just sit around and argue with each other about your opinions, but who really cares? Because your opinion will be different than the next opinion and the next opinion. And guess what? Your opinions, I've been there, done that, still doing it, I'm sure. My opinion will change, right? Give me a better answer and my opinion will change. But if it's rooted in God's word, it's God's opinion and it will never change. So the shaking is separating the world from Christianity. It's also separating believers in the church as well. But I want you to be encouraged that the shaking is creating a holy and pleasing remnant of God's chosen people in America. If this godly remnant remains, we will not lose the generation after us in America, because we will teach our children and our grandchildren to listen to the voice of God. Don't just teach them about God. Teach them to listen to God. Teach them what God is saying, not just what the Bible says, but how do you follow the Bible with your life? If you do that, there'll always be a remnant of God. In our world today, gender equality, homosexual marriage, abortion, tolerance, racial and social divides, disrespect for authority, hate, and pornography. See, these are the hard and hot topics pounding at the doors of the church. Are we going to ignore the pounding? Because I think in history, in recent history, we've done too much ignoring, and then we look around and shake our heads in disbelief, and we wonder what has happened to our neighborhood. I I realize this ain't popular, but I only liked to be popular when I was in high school. High schoolers, being popular is cool in high school, but once you get to college, nobody cares anymore. It's true. May I talk this morning about a couple of these I just listed? Two people. You can come up front. Rest of y'all, I don't know if you want to hear it or not. I want us to talk about what we do now, and then what might Jesus do. Have you seen in the news lately about the Equality Act? Okay. See, this just passed the House of Representatives. The Equality Act is named so because it enforces the agenda of the LGBTQ lobby. This includes requiring churches to submit to non-discrimination provisions that would effectively gut religious freedom in America. This is not expected to pass the House of Congress or even pass the president if it gets past the House of Congress. But this is breathtaking in scope. If this did pass, this would substantially alter all religious freedoms. Now, when I say this, I'm not just talking about Christianity. Now, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only way, the truth, and the life, and there is no opportunity to go to the Father other than through the cross of Jesus and the empty grave. I believe that. But our main, it's our First Amendment right, is the right to religious freedom. That's what made us, do you remember, if you look in your history books, why we left Great Britain? Say it. Somebody say it. Why do we leave Great Britain? Religious persecution. So I want us to go back to a little history lesson. America was founded on religious freedom, and the main thing we're founded on is God's word, but there's religions all over the United States. So when I'm talking today, I'm not just saying Christianity. I'm talking about all religions. That's why this is so, so important. I believe everyone should know Jesus. Amen. I'm going to preach that till the day I die. But guess what? There's people all over that believe in different religions that are also feeling the effects of this thing that is going on in our Congress right now. So if this did pass, it would substantially alter all religious freedoms that has been our bedrock of American life. And it is also what was vital in founding our Constitution. Now, may I say this for a moment? See, God's word is to inform our politics, not our politics informing our interpretation and application of God's word. It's backwards. We've given too much power. I'm not preaching against government. I believe give to Caesar what is Caesar's. But we've given too much power, too much authority, not only in our vote, but in our minds to what the government is saying over us. God's word will stand true forever. Governments will fall. We act like they're God. They're not God. They're there to represent us. And we got good people. Good people, even if there's a remnant. That remnant's definition literally means small group. Even if there's a remnant in the White House, even if there's a remnant in Washington, D.C., we still got good people preaching God's word, standing on the principles of God's word. And we must remember God's word is to inform our politics. So I don't know how you vote, but you should vote God's word. Forget Democrat, Republican, forget independent, forget, you know, the whoever else, you know, the renegades or whoever, right? Vote God's word. The National Association of Evangelicals, have you ever heard of them? Open Bible's a part of them. And they represent religious denominations, also schools and charities, and it comprises to over 100 million Americans. Not a little thing. It's huge. And they wrote a letter to the U.S. House of Representatives, and I'm going to state a few things that they wrote. I highlighted some of their main subjects. It's really long, so I couldn't read it all to you. Feel free to go out there if you'd like it. Go try to find it. But I just highlighted some quotes So they wrote, the National Association of Evangelicals wrote to the House of Representatives, and it says this, quote, "Our focus in this letter is on the implications of the Equality Act for religious freedom of all Americans. Houses of worship and other religious spaces will be turned into places of public accommodation. Religious adoption and foster care providers would be devastated, harming innocent children and their families because of the loss of federal funds that would fall particularly hard on religious organizations, charities that provide adoption and foster care services. Many privately funded shelters and homeless and victims of domestic violence would be rendered illegal, ripping a hole in the society safety net. Core rights would be stripped from religious colleges and universities. Religious individuals would be forced, like myself, to take part in weddings and funerals that violate their religious beliefs," end quote. That was a really strong, but a really loving an understanding letter that they wrote. See, this might all seem shocking, but do you see how quickly our nation has descended morally ever since the Supreme Court made same-sex marriage a nationwide right? Remember what I said, I know I can feel it. Your opinions, if not rooted in God's word, are just your opinions. I'm gonna preach God's word today, not my own opinion. Most of the time, my opinion is rooted in God's word, but not always. Even this very last week, some things in me shook up, and I'm even going to preach on some of that I can't find in God's word, that for somehow our religious traditions have said it was okay, but it's not in God's word. So what do we do? What can we do? First, you must pray for this threat to religious freedom. You got to pray. It should be our first reaction. We got to pray. This place here, Jesus called it a what? A house of prayer. Then communicate with your congregational and denominational representatives. This is a congregation. Talk to some of us leaders, your thoughts, your heart, where you're at, what God's word says, what you're concerned with. Maybe you're connected to the city. Maybe you have a direct line to what's going on. Maybe you know what's happening. Maybe you need to talk to us, or even our denominational representatives, like Pastor Bruce has come a few times. We have Mike Johnson, who is my district guy, and Pastor Bruce, who's the regional guy, or the president of Open Bible, or the national, whatever you want to do. You gotta speak up in your voice, but make sure you're not judging. Make sure you're not being disrespectful, and make sure it's rooted in God's word and not just your own opinions, because anybody can get a letter like that, right? About anything. But most definitely, here's another opportunity. Contact, write, email, show up to your civil leaders, like your senators, and talk to them. I've been a believer this long in my life, and this is what God's word says, and this is what I stand on because I believe in human life, and I like this and I like that because God's word says this is important. Will you please? I voted you in because I believe that you're the man or woman of God that needs to be in that position, and I've put you in that place, and I pray for you every day. Will you hear my heart on this today? Do something like that. But can we do something that's most important right now together as a congregation? Can we stop right now for a moment and ask God what he's saying to us right now? Can we ask him right now? All right, just on your own, pray right now. God, we ask that you just come right now, Lord, and speak to us. Speak to us, God. Talk right now. Go ahead, just talk to God like you normally do at your home. God, we need an answer. We need an answer, Lord. We don't know exactly what you're doing. We don't know exactly what's going on, but God, we follow you. Or may you speak to our hearts. It says in your word that we can have peace beyond understanding, beyond our understanding. God, it's a peace from God. It's supernatural. But we need that now. We need a peace to know that you have everything in order. But God, may you mobilize us to do what you've called us to do. I don't know exactly what it is, but Lord, we come to you today. It says in your word, two or more are gathered, and you're in the midst of us. God, I know that your presence is here, and I know that you're hearing every word that comes out of our mouth, and even the ones we don't understand that are hidden in our hearts. God, may you listen now and may you speak to us. Lord, we listen. There's in your word that's a still small voice. Listen now. Speak to us. Amen. 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 So is the Spirit of God in this crucial time mobilizing the church to do something? History, biblical history, has been shaped through generations by ordinary people doing extraordinary things. Have you found yourself in the Bible yet? Have you like related to somebody in the Bible saying, oh, that's me? Like sometimes I find myself looking like Peter. Like, you fool, shut your mouth. Right? Quit always reacting. Take a second. Listen. Think about it. Then act. Can't you learn from Peter? Right? People losing ears all over the place. Crazy. Only person who likes that is Tyson. Okay, moving on. I told you I got jokes today. Oh, what am I doing? But seriously, have you found yourself in the Bible yet? We look at these superheroes as we think that they are, but really they're ordinary people doing extraordinary things. And they do it by the obedience of God. They do it by faith in God. There's only one like superhero in there. His name's Jesus. And we all strive to be like him, but we find ourselves relating. But then I also find myself relating to King David. Worship unabandoned, have a heart, you know, just fall apart at God and ask God to forgive me and just be broken and soft as often as I can. But also being a warrior, right? The guy that's super soft and cries and doesn't worry about what other people think, but it's the first one in line to just go to battle, right? So you got to find yourself in God's word. Find yourself and relate to somebody and learn from everybody else. So if God himself right now is asking you, part of his church, part of his remnant, to do something extraordinary in your life, what will you say to him? What will you do for him? You see, no changes take place by people who do nothing. No conditions are improved by people who do nothing. No circumstances are altered by people who do nothing. And this is what stinks. It's easy to do nothing. But I'm here to preach the word of God this morning. I'm here to preach that there is power in doing something. Life reveals moments when we're faced with a decision. A decision that could possibly change everything. But we stand before that decision and we choose. Are we going to do nothing? Or are we going to do something? But it's very apparent, church, it's very apparent that if we keep doing the same things we've been doing as a body of believers and expecting different results, we're never going to see a change. Amen? May I touch on one more hot topic this morning? Three people want to hear another hot topic. Would you like me to preach on another hot topic this morning? Okay, then we're going to all wrap it up in God's word. Let's talk about abortion. I think most of us, not all of us, most of us in here in this church stand in the same corner on this. We believe that abortion is not God's plan for life. We believe it's unfairly ending lives. But did you know that the current American average is 1 in 4 women in church today even have had an abortion? Did you know that 6 out of 10 women in America who've had an abortion associate with the Christian faith? See, we're so strong on our religious stances, but what are we doing about it? See, our righteous anger should compel a heart full of compassion. How are we helping the hurt and the lost and the broken and the shamed and the devastated women that are living their life with this thing that has happened? They might even be sitting next to you today. What are we doing? are we doing? The average age person or woman, the average age woman who faces and deals with this carried shame of abortion, either through counseling or other avenues, and feels like they're able to kind of step out of that. The average age in our community here is in their upper 40s. That's a long time carrying shame. And why have they done it? Have they felt trapped by what the world says and by the judgment of the church? Have they not talked about, hey, listen, this is not God's plan, and if you've walked through something today, we want to love you, and we're not going to judge you, we're going to stand with you and love on you. Have we done it? We haven't. So many feelings, so many trapped people in shame. Have we stood back wearing religious robes and forgot to take the robes off and wash the feet of the ones that Jesus Christ died for? I pray we haven't. Haven't just stood there wearing robes. So there's this wonderful Christ-centered organization in our own community that my wife and I on Monday got to go together, and we got to go and tour it. I toured it about 5 years ago or 4 years ago or so when I was a youth pastor. But it has a different impact on me now that I'm the lead pastor. It's got a different depth to me right now that I walk through there. And, oh man, the organization provides free pregnancy care, including a free ultrasound to see their baby in the womb. They provide godly wisdom for decision making, and they support the before and after the care. Even if the woman chooses to have an abortion, they are there with godly open arms. It's called Bridgehaven. See, we have to fight for the unborn. We have to give also godly advice about life. I want to ask us some more questions though. But who fights for the already born? There are hundreds of kids in our very own community that do not have families. And they're cycling through the foster care system. Even some of them age out at 18 and they never have a family to call their own. They go to Christmas alone. They go to Thanksgiving alone. They sit around and they see all these families holding hands and singing songs and being a part of these things, and they don't have somebody to say, Mom, Dad, cousin, auntie, whatever, can I come to your house for the holidays? But did you know that 2 times a month, a nonprofit, non-religious, DHS-funded program called AMP meets in our church? My sister, Shelby, she oversees it in Cedar Rapids. What does AMP do? It helps foster care teens by teaching them life skills, resources, and connection to aid to get them ready to transition from foster care into adulthood. AMP teaches them to advocate for themselves, to better the system, and gives them a safe place to connect with individuals that have similar stories as them. And she told me this week even that AMP, some of those kids, they call AMP their family. We must do something, church. Either on the front end with places like Bridgehaven, or the back end with programs like AMP, or something in between. Amen? Gotta do something. See, to proclaim our faith is not enough. We must show it with our life. We must show it with action. Put your hands out real quick like this. You know what's in there? Hope. It's literally this easy just to supernaturally think that your hands are out right here and you're walking around everywhere that you go and you're able to do this. Hey, Steve, I might be going through something here, man. Here's some hope. Just speak to them. Love on them. See a single mom in a line somewhere and give her a 20 and say, help this buy some groceries for you. God loves you. Jesus, say Jesus loves you. God can mean Allah or Buddha or anything. Just say Jesus. That's the name above every name. You know, just put that out and just say, hey, I'm carrying this everywhere that I go. I have this hope. You know what's cool? Let's watch this. Here you go, Miss Chris. Oh, got some more. Come on. What? Oh, hey, there it is. Right? Jesus never runs out of hope, and if he lives inside of you, you ain't ever going to run out of hope. See, we bring hope everywhere that we go. We can bring love, and we can do something, church, or we can just be mad at places that do abortion. Or we could do something about it and support a place that values life, preaches the gospel to the lost and confused, hurting souls out there. We can love the ones that might feel unloved, bouncing back and forth, in and out of homes. Mom loves me, but mom can't take care of me, so I'm pulled and stripped from them. And the cops keep coming, and things keep happening. I'm living with this person, living with that person, living in orphan houses or doing whatever. Or we can pray for these children. We can get involved. We can volunteer. And guess what? We can even adopt them. Thankful my parents adopted. I am very thankful. Can I ask you to do something for me today, church? Do something for God. Will you do something? Can I ask you to stop thinking with traditional Christian beliefs for just one moment? Traditional is the key. And ask the Holy Spirit to open your heart and mind to understand how Jesus would act in this very moment of time. See, it seems that a lot of times we're on the defensive side far too often with knee-jerk reactions and shaking our head with, oh, I can't believe that that is happening. But see, I believe God wants us to be on the offense, but not in an offensive way. Christians tend to lean first with religious authority and words. You can't do that because God's word says. What's God's word? I've never even heard of this, Jesus. And what happens when we come with authority and words only? The world looks at us and to them, they think it's hate and they think it's judgment. Why? Because our words don't match our actions. That's why. Our words don't match our actions. We might have words of God's word, but where's the love? Where's the love? So I don't want you to get confused by doing something with doing anything. Think quickly, if you will. How often, I realize it happens sometimes, but how often is a strong pointed Bible verse against the actions of a lost person or protesting or picketing led somebody to Jesus? How often does that happen? Sometimes, yeah. Think about the percentage. How often do you feel that that shows the love of God to the world? See, I've seen people on Facebook. I'm friends with a whole bunch of people. And Christians get on there, somebody puts something, and they say, oh, that's a sin. That's against God's word. When did you love that person to allow that opportunity to speak into their life? Do you think that came off as love or judgment or hate? It's true. Yes, it's true. But how are you doing it? Ask God for a strategy. Strategy is not just professing your faith, but not doing something about it. That's judgment. And according to the world, that's what we've been doing for a long time. Stand up for what you believe in. Now, I hope you know that as me, who's standing behind a pulpit preaching things that most pastors would never preach, I got no problem with. You better preach what you believe, 100% always. You cannot just sit back and watch the world fall apart and into the hands of the devil. You can't do it. Write your congressmen and women. Visit the city officials about your stance. Vote. Speak up when needed. But church, ask God for the right strategies. Ask God for biblical, loving strategies. See, Jesus came with truth and love. And perfect love casts out fear. Some of this other stuff we've been doing doesn't cast out anything but judgment. So what would Jesus do if he lived in America right now? How would Jesus react to gender equality, homosexual marriage, abortion, tolerance, racial and social divides, disrespect for authority, hate, and pornography? See, these are the major questions that should be burning deep inside of the hearts of his followers. How should the church face these major things we're facing in our world right now, or in our city, or in our community, in our neighborhood, and even in our own homes? Will you open your Bible, please, to Luke chapter 10? If you didn't bring a Bible, there's one behind me, but it's cool if you use your own. We gave you one right in front of you if you want to use it. If you're front row, it's right below you. That's an NLT version if you didn't bring a Bible today. Luke chapter 10, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. It's the first sections of the New Testament, and we're going to read a story out of there. It's in Luke 10. We're going to start in verse 25, and we're going to read a few verses through there. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. I'm going to read out of the NLT. One day, an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question: "Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus replied, "What does the law of Moses say? What do you read it? I'm sorry, how do you read it?" The man answered, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "Right," Jesus told him. "Do this and you will live." The man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along, but when he saw the man laying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by the other side. A despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them, and then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, "Take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I will pay you the next time I'm here." Now Jesus is talking again. "Now which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by the bandits?" Jesus asked. The man replied, "The one who showed him mercy." Then Jesus said, "Yes. Now go and do the same." Everybody, everyone deserves Jesus' love, even if that love is not reciprocated. Every Greek, every Jew, and even the despised Samaritans. Every sinner, and every sinner saved by grace. We're not here to judge the world. Jesus will do that, and he'll do it soon. We're here to show the world a different way to live. The way that Jesus lived and the way that Jesus loved. Church, we must do something. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, the first part of the verse says this: "The eyes of the Lord are searching the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him." See, the Lord is searching right now. He is searching and strengthening you, church. He's strengthening you this very morning. He's doing that so you can be strengthened to do something, to give something, to share something, to restore something, to repair something, to rebuild something, to renew something, to do something.
This morning, saw a world full of trouble. Now I thought, how do we ever get so far down? And how's it ever gonna turn around? So I turned my eyes to heaven. I thought, God, why don't you do something? Well, I just couldn't bear the thought of people living in poverty, children sold into slavery. The thought disgusted me, so I shook my fist at heaven. I said, God, why don't you do something? He said, I did. Yeah. I created you. If not us, then who? If not me and you, right now. Well, it's time for us to do something.
What would Jesus do if he lived in America today? I think he would do what many of those signs said on them in the video we just watched. Help others. Stand up for the weak. Laugh. Shine. Feed the hungry. Get clean water for all. Love. Fight for justice. Uplift. Advocate. Adopt. Stop bullying encourage, love your neighbor, forgive, listen, console the lost, stand up, show Christ love, smile, hug, comfort, rebuild, serve, plant seeds of hope, share the gospel, pray, care, act, teach, heal the hurting, help end pain, support, be kind, have hope, champion a cause, volunteer, and impact. It's time. You are the salt and the light. You are a city on a hill. Followers of Jesus, will you please stand? Worship team, please come forward. Here's the question. Are you going to do nothing, or are you going to do something? You are the remnant of the Most High. The remnant. See, we can do it together as the church of God. We can ask God, what is it, Lord, that you would have me do? I was talking to somebody this week, and we're talking about somebody's really good at fixing things, building things, restoring things. Thank you. And I said, these hands ain't good at that. These hands pay somebody else to do that. It's not my gift. No, right now God's given me a gift to preach. Give me a gift to make people laugh or love on people or make people feel included or whatever it is. All of us, every single person in here has a gift, and God wants you to do something with it. Do something. Put your faith in action. Put your faith in action. If all you're doing is proclaiming, you've lost the gospel message. Even one of the best, if not the most super Christian ever to live, his name was the Apostle Paul. He said, even if I preach with eloquent words, even if I do all these things, it's like a banging a cymbal or a clang, clang, clang. If I don't do it with love, if I don't do these things in love, it might as well just be a bunch of noise. Can I prophesy for a moment before we go? This church, the church, all churches that preach the full gospel will no longer be clanging cymbals. They'll no longer be just words. May they be men and women in action, full of compassion, full to do the things that God has called them to do. May they go out and be people with faith, with action. May they put their words to work. May they be people of God's love. May they have a testimony upon their lips on what God is doing now. May they see the lost, broken, and hurting, and may they go out and reach. May the lost in the world no longer think of us as judging people, but people with answers. May we be truly a city of refuge, a city of on a hill. May we be the place that when I turn to everything else, I turn to drugs and sex, and I try to change my identity 100 times, because all I'm searching for is I don't know who I am, and I don't know who loves me, and that we will be able to bring that hope, that gospel message of hope. May the church of today, right now, rise up and be mobilized to preach the gospel with love and compassion, and to not think traditionally in what we've done before, but to think with the Holy Ghost, listening to the voice of God and saying, God, I don't need all the strategies, I just need your next one. I don't need all the battle plans, I just need the next one. God, where do I fit in here? What am I doing at First Open Bible to join in what God is doing? How can I go and love, right? You have an easy opportunity this Saturday to put on your Christian shirt or whatever, put on your church shirt that we have here or whatever you want to do. Come at 9 a.m. and literally you can spread the gospel message door to door by placing a video of Jesus in the hope of the world. And I pray that each one of you, and I hope that you are nervous right? The only time when you step out in faith is when you're nervous. If you think that you got it handled, well, then you're just doing it on your own strength. But I pray that you're nervous. I pray that you walk up to somebody's door and they fling it open and say, "What is this?" An opportunity. Amen? I pray it happens to all of us. And if you're nervous right now, say, "I ain't coming Saturday at 9 a.m. If you're saying that right now, I pray that God come fix your heart right now and you show up and you bring people to help you. Amen? Amen. I want us to pray. And before we go today, if we have some prayer teams, if you need prayer today, we'll just get some prayer teams on the sides here. We're going to sing a worship song together. We're going to go. Don't forget, we don't have service tonight, but I want us to pray. I hope that God did something in your heart today. I hope he stirred something in you today that says something different, that God wants to do something in you. You are so valuable to God. So valuable. And God has a purpose and a plan for your life. If he didn't, the moment you said a prayer to God saying that, "Lord, come into my heart, ask for forgiveness, you're the Lord of my life," it would have been single raptures all over the place. Yep, whoop, 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 right? I'd be out of a job all the time. I'd be like, "Oh, I got new people coming in all the time." But see, you're here for a reason. You're here for a purpose. You have those talents. You have all those things upon your mind. You keep going over to this section or that section or something that's always stirred you or something God's putting in you. And that's a reason for that. Because God wants to use it. He wants you to do something. Father, we love you. We worship you. We thank you for this message. We thank you, God, that there's so many opportunities. Lord, I pray that First Open Bible will listen to the voice of God. I am the pastor here, God. You've put me in this place and I'm thankful for it, Lord, and I'm humbled by it. I truly am humbled by it. And thank you for that. Lord, help me. Help me lead. Help me lead. God, but may all these people in everywhere that they go, may they be leaders of the gospel. May they be ambassadors of you. God, I pray that right now, may you put something upon the hearts of the leaders, the ones in charge, God, that you've put in place at this very church. Who should we partner with? Who should we stand with? Is it Bridge Haven? Is it places like that? Is it places on the other end? Should we bring in things to talk to people and kids that are lost in the foster system or opportunities for Christian places to adopt kids or whatever it is? God, we want to do a new strategy, a new way. We want to affect the kingdom of God in the way that you've called us to, not just something that we've done before. May we at times put down the picket sign and pick up the pen and write something out and do it that way, God. May we buy lunch. Oh, may we buy lunch for Planned Parenthood and just say, "This church loves you and we're praying for you." May we do things out of the box, out of the norm that you called us to, God. May we do the things that you are strategically putting upon us, and may we partner with the right things in these very last hours, because God, we want to take as many people with us as we can before you come again. We love you, we thank you, and we worship you. And God, I pray that each and every person here, before they lay their head down at night tonight, that they have an opportunity, a divine appointment, to share the gospel. And every day, Lord, may we honor you today better than we did yesterday. And we honor you tomorrow better than we did today. And may we always love you for who you are and not just what you do for us. We love you, Jesus, and we worship you. In Jesus' mighty name, God's children said, amen.
We are alive, filled with your glorious light. Out of the dark, into your marvelous light. Expectation sealed. Oh, Spirit, raise us up with you. Let the church rise with compassion. Let the church fall to her knees. Let us be light in the darkness. Let the church rise. Let the church rise.